Good evening, everyone. It's so nice to be here again and enjoy the prayer meeting, enjoy being with the saints. Nothing like it, really, with God's people. Such a joy, something we can so easily take for granted. It's really such a privilege. The thing that I have on my heart tonight is something that has been recently I've been meditating on, and it's been an encouragement to me. I've been thinking in my readings, my daily readings, I came across, in one of my evening readings, came across this verse, and it really spurred on a few thoughts. This verse about, my title would be, He is able. He is able. And God wants us today, my brother Mark was praying of how great God is, our great God, and He is able to meet our every need that we have. And there's four different things that I have that He is able. And I could have extended it to eight different ones, because there are eight different ones that I found. But I would like to emphasize four of them, and two of them I combined. So you'll see which ones I combined, where specifically it speaks of He is able. He is able to meet our every need, that He is able to, there's various different subjects that He is able to accomplish. He is able to accomplish. For reference, could turn with me for the first text in Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew and chapter 9. The Lord Jesus here in His public ministry, He says, and when, verse 27, Mark 9, verse 27, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going about doing miracles and healing many. And there's these two men, it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And it's a question tonight. Believe ye that I am able to do this? It has something to do with faith. Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So that's the first text I want to read is I am able. He is able. The question the Lord Jesus asked these men, because blind men had never, there's no such thing as a blind man, anyone opening the eyes of anyone that was blind. And the man there in John also declares this. He was born blind. He says, from the beginning of the world, has there anyone ever opened the eyes of someone that was born blind? And the answer was no. But so the Lord Jesus Christ comes to these men. He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And their response was yes, a resounding yes. And the Lord Jesus said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. And He was able to meet that need. So tonight, I know we often think of this, and we have to realize that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's one of the things. It's impossible even to please the Lord if we do not have faith. And we will make some reference to the disciples who were at times weak in faith. And Lord Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. And so tonight I want to encourage our hearts that we can trust in Him no matter what our circumstances are. Because in each of these things you will see that as I go through the different references, how He is able. He is able to meet our physical needs, our spiritual needs, and the different verses will emphasize these things. So this text brought me to contemplate His ability. We often think of someone who is able. Is he able? But also, is he willing? And that's just the beauty of God, is we think there in the Old Testament, in Ruth and Boaz, we think of that beautiful picture of the Redeemer, of someone that is the kinsman Redeemer, the one that was willing. He was able to do it. The other one was able to do it. The one that was first in line to redeem to roots the land of Naomi's son's land and the heritage. He was able to redeem it, but he was not willing. But here you think of the leper that came to the Lord Jesus. You could say to Him, if Thou art willing, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus reached out and touched him and says, I will, be thou clean. And so we have someone here who is willing, and He is able. And He is able and willing to meet our every need. And He's willing. And He just wants us to come to Him. He just wants us to understand that He is willing. and that he is able to do it. So tonight, let's think about the things that he is able to do for us. Because often we're so weak in our concept of his ability. Is able to meet us where we're at. We sometimes live as beggars, as Christians, but yet we think, here, is he able? And here the first one is, he is able to supply. So all four of them are S's, you guessed it. He is able to supply. And the first verse I want to speak on in the different ones is in 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, Paul speaks here about the life of the believer in his generosity, be able to give, to share our goods. And here he says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And then this verse, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So the supply of God is not lacking. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. So we have a God who, and we're linked with him. We're going to gain the inheritance one day. It's all going to be ours. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Because we're in him, we are now going to be partakers of it. But here, the context is a principle given, a principle of sowing and reaping. This principle doesn't change. It's something, if you give, you will also receive. If you give much, you can also reap much. That's what it says here. And it says, he that gives little will also reap little. It's a principle that doesn't change. But here it says, those who are giving might be wondering, will I be able to receive? How will I, if you give even if you're out of your necessity, out of your, even like the Macedonians, give out of your poverty. They were such an example to the believers of their generosity to give to the Lord. Even that woman with the mite, she put in her last. And was God able to supply her need? So that could be the first thing that comes to heart as we think about this. Will God meet my need if I'm able to give? And he says here, God is able to give, to make all grace abound towards you. That's the context, physically. He is able to supply us physically. And I was considering this, of how often we fear, how often we worry. And I've been there many times. But the Lord Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, it's such a precious, timeless a truth that is always such an encouragement of his care, of God's eye upon us, of his exhortation to us to never worry of our lack of supply physically. It says there, the Lord Jesus says there in Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. And there's many believers here who think of what's happened the last number of years, whether from sickness or health, or we think of the economy or different things that have happened, inflation. We think of how Lord Jesus says, it's still true. He says, do not worry about your life. That's the Lord Jesus saying. He says, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And he goes on to list, is life not more than food and your body more than clothing? And he says, and he gives examples of, look at the birds of the field. They don't toil. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not more valued than many sparrows? So God's care is on you. If he sees a sparrow and he sees one fall, do you think you're not worth more than one sparrow? He sees you. He takes note of your need, every need that you have. And this first one is, he is able to supply our every need. It says there, he's able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, the context there of the grace is, he's able to supply our physical needs in the context there. And then Lord Jesus goes on to speak about worrying, about putting on clothing and all these different things that we are in need of. But our Heavenly Father sees what we are in need of, and he will supply. So just for encouragement for any saint here that might be worrying, in this, the scripture teaches us and encourages us that God is able to supply all our needs. He's able to make all grace abound towards us. He is able. And we can believe this. And the next one is, he is able to supply our spiritual needs. He is able. There's a verse, and I'm thinking about this as well. He is able. The first one was a physical need. The second one is a spiritual need that we have. And are we ever in need of spiritual need? We have spiritual needs as God's people. We have spiritual needs of the living Christ, of the different needs. We're different walks in our Christian life, and we have different spiritual needs. It says here, and Paul knew this when he prayed for the Ephesians. He prayed for the Ephesians. In chapter 1, he speaks of the objective prayer. He speaks that they might know what they have in Christ. He speaks of how they might know of what is theirs in heaven. And in chapter 3, he speaks about what they can experience in a subjective prayer. And this is where this context is here. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the breadth and the height, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So here's that verse in its context. He is able to supply our spiritual need. Paul has just gone through the most lengthy, most precious verse that I have been encouraged myself to pray out for me. This verse, and I would encourage each saint to do this, because this is a prayer that we know we're praying according to his will. And we know that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And we will have the petition which we have asked of him. We can have confidence that we ask according to his will. And here's an actual prayer in the scriptures that we can pray, that we know is a prayer that is laid out for us. And so Paul here is going on, and he is praying that these saints in Ephesus, he's praying to about believers who he says have been saved, and now he's praying that they might not only know, as in chapter 1, know their position and the truth that is theirs. In chapter 1, he speaks about this wonderful, lofty prayer. Now he comes to chapter 3, and he is praying that they might experience these things, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And he's praying for the company to experience one another, to be able to comprehend with all the saints, so it's the length and the breadth and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's like, how can that be, to know Christ's love, to have him dwelling in us, having every corner of our hearts, that Christ may make his home in us, in the believers, that they might experience this as a local assembly, as individuals, and as a company. He says, comprehending with all the saints, so as the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And he says this, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's heaven on earth, being filled with all the fullness of God. And it's such an amazing prayer that Paul is praying. And you think after this prayer, you're like, how is this possible? Is this able? Like, it sounds too grand. It sounds too great. Is God able to do this? Well, Paul says, now unto him that is able to do what? And I love how William McDonald says it. Unto him that is able to do. Unto him that is able to do what we ask. Unto him that is able to do what we think. Unto him that is able to do what we ask and think. Unto him that is able to do what we abundantly above what we ask or think. Unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. And if we think of this, he is able to do what we ask is marvelous. To be able to do what we ask, wow, God is able to do what we ask. And then Paul just blows it way higher. He says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. So I think this is such a precious verse that for spiritual needs, especially this one here that Paul is praying, this lengthy, this lofty prayer that we might experience Christ, that we might be able to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ be dwelling in our hearts by faith, and that we being rooted and grounded in love, all these wonderful things we can experience. We can have this as a company because God is able to do this. And if we ask this, He is able to supply. So He is able to supply our physical needs. He is able to supply our spiritual needs in these two. And the next one is, he is able to secure. He is able to secure. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says here, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day." So here Paul is saying how our believers often will wonder, we can be shaking maybe sometimes thinking, will the Lord, the things that I've committed unto him, has he seen it? Will he recompense? And Paul says here, and later on Paul is speaking, he says, "I fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." He was a believer that was triumphant right to the end. But then he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So here is Paul is speaking of that there's a God who is righteous. He is going to keep what he has committed unto him. There's so many things often, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, he committed himself unto God. Committing ourselves unto God as unto a faithful creator. So sometimes things might seem unfair or seem wrong. But Paul here says, "I am persuaded." He says, I know in whom, not in what I have believed, but in whom I have believed, in a person. He says, and I am persuaded. He is persuaded. He is convinced. And that's what it takes, conviction. Convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God is going to be just. He is going to be faithful. To commit. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So each one of us, we can commit our lives, the things in our lives that might be a burden to us sometimes, we can commit them to him. Paul did this, and he was persuaded. He was convinced that God was able to keep what he has committed unto him against that day in the future. So he's able to secure. And I'm linking another one. He's able to secure our future is the first one. The second one, he is able to secure our present life, to preserve us. He says here in Jude 1:24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy." What a savior. Like to think that he is, often we think of how we are, what will it be when Jesus I will see face to face with God my savior. Often we sing these wonderful hymns of seeing him face to face. We wish we had given him more. There's these wonderful thoughts of one day our faith will be turned to sight and we shall behold him and not another. And what a glorious sight that will be, where we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. We think of these things, but what a joy it is for him to see his bride, to see the whole bride all together in one at the Bema. When he comes for us in the air, those who've gone before and those who are still present on earth living will be caught up together with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, his bride with him. And what a joy it will be for the Savior here in the future coming day to present us faultless, it says here, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is full of joy. He is the one that is able to, he is able to rejoice over his bride. The joy that he will have from his, I mean, when we think of Ephesians, it speaks of unto him, he says, him that filleth, we are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the fullness of him. The one whom he suffered on the cross, the one whom he bore the wrath for willingly. He says, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of my own self. Is the one that one day will be presented to him as a glorious church without spot and without any wrinkle or any such thing. And he'll be able to present it to himself. And here he says, he's able to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So we might say, well, we're sort of full of failure. We're so full of inconsistencies. Like we're up and down, we ebb and flow. And we look at our experience, we're like, how can it be? How is it thus? How can that be? Well, he is able. That's the thing. It's not about us. He is able to keep us from falling. Even in our present life here, he is able to keep us from falling. And it says there, the Lord is able. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, out of testing. He's able to preserve us from falling. The living Christ is able. We might think, but I have such a bad track record. It says, he is able. He is able. It's not about us. We cannot do it. what he is able, as we link on him, as we depend on him. Our Christian life begins with dependence. It begins with us on dependence on Christ for our eternity. It depends on him for our salvation. We wholly depend on him. But yet when we come to our Christian life, often we go back and we depend on ourselves to keep ourselves. But yet he is the one that is the guardian. He is the one that it says there in Peter, we have returned unto the chief shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's the one that's overseeing our souls. So let us let him keep us. I love this. He is able. He is able. Let this be a fresh strength to your heart. He is able to keep us from falling as we depend on him. And I love this. And Paul says also in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the last written epistle Paul is speaking here. He says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Paul was confident of this. He is going to preserve me. I don't have to fear. I have to rest. I don't have to put the anchor inside of me. I can cast the anchor on him, and he is able. It says here, he is able to preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And then, so that's the first one is, he is able to supply. It's the first point. And there's two verses. He is able to supply us as physically. He's able to supply us spiritually. And then the second one is, he is able to secure. And he's able to secure our present life. There he is able to secure our present life, and he's able to secure our future. Those things that we've committed unto him, he is able to keep those. He's going to guard those. But also he is able to keep us from falling presently and in our life here below. And the third one is, he is able to succor. First one, he is able to supply. He is able to secure. And here he is able to succor. He's able to aid us. He's able to aid. And that's similar to the one we've been kind of speaking about. He's able to draw alongside and be our help. And there in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, it was necessary for him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So the context here is the Lord Jesus Christ is able to sympathize, to be able to, because he has walked in this earth, though he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, he knows what this life is like on this earth. He suffered weariness. He is one that knows what life is like, yet he says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He is able to draw alongside. He is able to help us along our journey. He is able to help. Often we don't believe this. We don't believe that he is able to help us in the moment that we need. You think sometimes the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. It says in Psalm 42, he is a very present help in time of trouble. He is always there if we only link ourselves to him, avail ourselves of these verses. It takes faith to believe it. Do we believe he is able? Do you believe I'm able to do this? He is able. It says he is able to succor. He is able to aid. When we are tempted, we feel the temptation coming upon us. Is he able? Do we believe this, that he is able to help us, to deliver us, to aid us through it? Because he knows what it's like. It's not someone in heaven that can look down and like is in a sense an austere looking upon us, ready to judge us. No, it's the opposite. It's someone who wants to alongside and help us and to deliver us, to bring us through the temptation. He is able to deliver us, to succor us, to aid us. And we think of David in the Old Testament. David often in the Psalms, how often in the Psalms they speak of my help, the Lord my help and my deliverer. He availed himself of God as his help. There we think of in Psalm 18, he says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. So often we come in a situation in our lives where things are too strong for us. It's too big. Our enemies are too big for us. And we know this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, against the principalities and powers. Things are greater than us, stronger than us. But we have the living Christ. We can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We think of there David. He says, they were too strong for me. Then he says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He says, and later on he says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He says, thou art my help. Notice, thou art my help. Aid, the idea of aid or succor is help, aid. It's just all the same idea. He's able to help us along. We're not on our own. We're not on our own anymore. Christ is there with us. We're yoked together with him. He is carrying, says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, we're yoked, take my yoke upon me. A yoke is to be linked, yoked together with him. He's carrying, he's doing all the lifting. We're just yoked together with him. And just that he's able to help us and aid us through this life. What a balm that is. What a confidence we can have, because the Bible teaches this. Are you able, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He says to this blind man, do you believe I'm able to do this? That's a question for us. Do we believe in 2023 that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is able to meet our need, is able to help us, to succor us? So he is able to supply, he is able to support, and he is able to succor here. And the last one here is he is able to, or sorry, the other one is he is able to secure. The support one was a different one that I had, but this is not the one that is in my list here. And the last one is he is able, is a precious one. This is such a precious one. And it goes, they're all kind of similar, but they are different. They do speak, they all are specific verses. And here it says, it's one of my favorite ones. And I know we apply this in the gospel, and it can apply in the gospel, but in its context, it speaks to us as the believer and our Savior that is able to. What does the Savior do best? He saves. Our Savior saves. He's able to save us from so many dangers. He is able from pitfalls, from something that can destroy us. He is able. And how far is he able to save us? Well, this verse is a precious verse. It says, Hebrews 7, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, because he has an unchangeable priesthood, he never dies. He is one that does not die like the Old Testament priests. He is able to continue forever. He has unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, seeing he always lives to make intercession for them. Today, Christ has made intercession for his saints. He is active, and we've seen this in the life of Peter. The Lord Jesus comes to Peter, was unaware of this. The Lord Jesus comes to him and says, Simon, Simon, Satan, I desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But here's the strength. Here is the anchor that Peter had in another. Someone that took note of him before Peter knew any danger, that had already gone through it all with the Father. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Not that I've prayed for you that you will not go through this, because you will be sifted as wheat. Satan will have his way with you. And we see Peter as he denied the Lord thrice. And there he is. Afterwards, he thought of the Lord's words and he went out and wept bitterly. But what was he afterward? The Lord just says, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You will come out on the other end and you will come out intact. And not only intact, you will come out stronger, because it says, after you are converted, after brought back again, strengthen your brethren. You might say, but he's such a failure. He's the one that which other disciple denied the Lord like he did? Which other one was able to run away, to curse and to say, I do not know the man, so strongly? Which other one fell so far as Peter did? Well, here the Lord Jesus says, he is the one that is able to strengthen his brethren. It's because of what he went through. He was able to sympathize. He was able to be gentle and someone that was able to be humble. And he is such a, I love Peter in this. But here he is able to save. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save us to the uttermost. We think of a number of examples where in Matthew 8, we think of the disciples there in the boat. And it says, and the Lord Jesus said to them to go across to the other side. They had his word. I mean, he was going to meet them on the other side as well. He said to them to go before, to go on the other side. So the context is that they will make it across. It's not an issue. But there's a storm that happened. And it says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And the Lord Jesus Christ at this point, he is is the first time the Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat. And it says, and in so much that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And often we're a little bit harder on the disciples, because put yourself in their shoes. Here they are, the Lord is with them, and they've seen his miracles, they know, but yet the boat is filling with water. And it's not stopping. It doesn't seem like it's stopping. So what is the natural, like, what's going to happen here? It keeps filling up with water. And they cry out. The disciples said to them, and I love this. What did they say? It says it was covered with waves, but he was asleep. The Lord Jesus Christ is asleep in a boat. And that's how it is with our lives. Sometimes, very often, it's like this, where we feel like the waves are overwhelming us. We will ultimately perish in this storm that we're in. He's asleep. It seems like he's asleep here. And he was asleep, it says. And his disciples came to him and awoke him. And you can see they're terrified. They're like saying, Lord, save us. Save us, Lord. We're perishing. We perish. And he says unto them, why are you fearful? So calm, so reassuring. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What I want to bring out of this is they needed saving. That's how they felt. They're like, Lord, save us. And he was able. He was able. And you think of Peter. I love this one about Peter. So he was able to save a whole company of believers. He's able to save an assembly. He is able. If we cry out to him, and we know we're perishing. But here he is. He is able to save individuals. I love this. And both times, it has to do with faith. Why, oh, you have little faith. He says here, Matthew 14, verse 28, and Peter said unto him, and said, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So it's fearful. And we can understand this. And beginning to sink, you might feel this way. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He can save to the uttermost. He can save us. That's what the Bible says. That's a text from God's word, the inerrant word of God. He is able to save us to the uttermost. As far away, as deep as we might feel we're sinking, he is able. He is able to meet us because his eye is on us and he is interceding for us. And his intercession is all prevailing. His intercession will not fail. He cannot fail. Is there anyone, is there ever a time when God is someone that he will not hear? He will hear the glorified Christ praying for his saints. He will hear him pray for them. So he can save us. He is able to save us. So first one, he is able to supply. He is able to secure. He is able to succor. And here he is able to save. And may God save us. May the Lord Jesus, may we know that he is able. Just like those two blind men. And that's what spurred me on to this topic. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, interestingly asked them, do you believe I'm able? Do you believe I'm able to do this? And that might be the question tonight, in which every one of those circumstances that we're thinking of, is he able to meet our need? Is he able to do what those verses have said? To supply all these things? The resounding thing is, like the blind man says, yes, you are able. We can say this. May God bless to us.